Here's something you didn't know. Thomas is the patron saint of internet trolls. It's true. It's true. I just elected him today. He is the patron, the first internet troll. And you know what a troll is? I don't know. Does anybody know what a troll is? That's the one that just comes in and is just crazy and throws hand grenades into conversations just from outside. Oh, I don't believe it. It never happened. Prove it to me. And I even got his Twitter name. Yes, I do. I figured it out. If he was alive today, his Twitter name would be Twin Tower Truth. You know, he's a twin. They call him that. All right, maybe not next. That's not going to go to Spanish Springs. I mean, VC's not going to get that. All right. Not a Twitter crowd. Okay. Who would have guessed? You see, I hate to go against Jesus, but I think I'm just going against the gospel writer John. It's not about doubt. And I'm really hoping that Pat didn't preach last week all about doubt. But for me, this is not doubt. Because doubt and faith are friends. Doubt and faith, they go out for a dance. You've been to that dance. You know the dance? Well, I don't know, but I don't know. I have doubts. But I'll do it anyway. That is doubt and faith dancing. That's not what we have here. If we had that here, Thomas would be respectful. Thomas would be asking questions. He would say, "Are you sure? How'd you know it was Jesus? What was he wearing? Did he have a name tag?" He might have done that. That is doubt. You sure it wasn't a celebrity impersonator? I don't know. Maybe they had them back then. I don't know. You know, doubtful questions. Are you sure? How'd you know? You know, that kind of stuff. That is doubt. I know, but maybe. No. Not our friend Thomas. Thomas wanted proof. He was a proofer. He was a proofer. There just wasn't any internet around to get around his conspiracy theories. I want proof. And did you see? It is all about him and me and mine. Nothing about... Here we have a room full of eyewitnesses. And now remember, we're talking about John. Don't be throwing in those other gospels. That's synoptic. They just got one eye. Don't be looking at them. Look at John. John's got another eye. In John, those disciples weren't just the top 12. Well, there's only 11, Christy, because you know Judas went on. That's the other ones. John, the disciples, was a group of people, men, women, just the crowd, the gang, the posse. Those people, you've got the disciples of Jesus testifying. Who's here is going to say, they're not very trustworthy. I don't believe them. Who? Thomas. Eyewitnesses, his friends, his colleagues, the people we've gone through with, his workmates, they're saying, "Thomas, we were here. This happened." And Thomas says, "No, it didn't. I know better. Not until it proves it to me. Mm-mm, no. Global warning, it's snowing outside. It's snowing where I live, so nothing. Right? Internet troll, all the way. Proof. Unless I see it. Unless I thrust my hand to the side. Anybody else get grossed out by that every year? Oh, Thomas. Proofer. Me, mine. It's got to be right here with me. I've got the things. Nobody else matters. There is no other proof except my proof, my things, what I believe, what I see. All you other guys, you don't know what you're talking about. Imagine saying that to the disciples of Jesus. Yeah. No wonder he's a patron saint of internet trolls. Man earned it. Woman says she's abused. And men usually say, well, he's always been good to me. I never saw it. I can't believe it. Where's your proof? There's Thomas all among us. Not the doubt that's a problem in our society today, it's the proofers. The proofers like Thomas. Proofers are everywhere. Hasn't always been that way. Everybody here in Notre Dame Cathedral, been in the news, fire kind of thing, big cathedral. 182 years to build. 182 years to build. We get upset when the road is closed for a weekend. What are they doing? I got places to be. 182 years. It took so long to build that we don't know who started it. The original team, the first architects, they say, we're not really sure who started it. We do know the second generation that worked on it. There was generations that were building it. And you know, I'm sure there was people that just went for the paycheck, you know, that just went for the bucket of meal or whatever they got back then. And you know, they just cut the wood or they laid the stone or they quarried the stone or whatever they're going to do. And that was just it. And they went home and they didn't care. But you know, there was at least some people that were building a cathedral they would never see. They were building a church, a place for God that they would never walk in, that they would never see, that no one could ever prove to them that would actually exist. They gave their lives for something they would never see. That's the opposite of proofer. That's some faith there. That's some faith. They might have had some doubts. They should. There's a lot of politics stirring up the pot and coming up over 182-year project. But you know what? They showed up for work anyway. Doing that dance of faith and doubt. Because faith and doubt says, I know, but okay. I know it's hard to believe, but okay. Where proofers will say, but I know. Instead of I don't know but, it's but I know. And nobody can tell me different. Let me explain to you why your eyewitness experience is wrong. Because I know I'm the proofer. Now you may say to me, Christy, I know you're doing this sermon four times and I hope you get it right by the end. But did you notice that you're in an office building? We're not a cathedral builder kind of people. We're not going to be building no cathedrals. We already made that choice. Get with it. I do appreciate you moving the worship center out from the corner because that just threw me off balance the whole time. So thank you for that. I feel my OCD is so much better here. So what am I going to do if you're not going to cathedral building? I'm not going to talk you into that. That's probably okay. Let's talk measles. Measles. Now you may think measles are an inconvenient rash. Just a little couple days away from school or work, a childhood disease, an annoyance, a bump in the road. But I want to tell you, as recently as 1980, 2.6 million people died every year from measles. 2.6 million people died. And that's not counting the people that were blind or people that lost some portion of their sight every year from measles. That is like now Nevada in 2010 was about 2.6 million people. So that's like Nevada disappearing every year. Everyone in Nevada. It's not just some little inconvenient rash. Deadly, deadly killer. But there were some people that saw beyond that. and saw that if they gave their lifetimes, if they gave decades to vaccination, to education, to preparing the world, to get, they can wipe out that wiping out disease, the death and blindness in the world. And over decades, they worked at it, and they tried, and they worked, and they tracked, and they vaccinated, and they educated, and they funded, and 2,000 measles was declared gone in the United States of America. But it's back. It's back. Because people didn't see it. They didn't have proof. Sure, everybody else says this, but I know better. It's not just cathedrals that take decades to build. It's society. It's health. It's prosperity. It can't be done in a tweet. And it can't be done if we don't trust one another. If we decide that what we know and what we experience is the only and measure, and we throw away everything else. What are we building that we hope 200 years from now will benefit society? What are we building that 200 years from now will glorify God? That's a tough question. See, John's a tough gospel. He's not like those other guys, the single-eyed Sunday school story kind of people. He's kind of deep. I told you one thing about John that you need to know for the scripture. One thing that he doesn't do the 12. He doesn't have the 12 disciples. He has disciples. He has a group. He has a posse. He has a crowd. Another thing about John, he doesn't do the 7. Not the 12, not the 7. What 7? The 7 deadly sins. Not in John. For in John, sin is not morality. Sin is not something you do. Sin is theological, not behavioral. Then sin is not seeing God in Jesus Christ. That's sin. And everything else is proscript. If you cannot see God's work in Jesus Christ, you're in sin. And if you can, you're not in sin. Now we can understand that crazy bit. Remember the crazy bit we skipped over because we're all about Thomas and doubting and stuff like that? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Okay, we're cool on that one. But if you retain the sin of any, they are retained. What the heck is that? Is there some kind of spiritual bank somewhere where you deposit sin and withdraw grace? Is there some ledger somewhere where people keep track? Who is the CEO? What's the stock offering? When's the IPO? What is this crazy financial spreadsheet of sins coming and going and people saying yes and no on this? But if you think, if you know that Jesus is talking to a community and not to a person, not to a bishop, not to a pope, not to a church official, but to the actual community here. And if you know that sin is not behavioral, but theological, for John, I don't think he would be so happy with the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Say it with me. What is sin? Anyone of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Yes, I got a scholarship for memorizing the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll have a reading later. But if you think the law of God is what expresses God's purpose, and in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the God's purpose is expressed in the Ten Commandments. But if you think that the law of God is what expresses God's purpose, because it should, then the pinnacle of that, what expresses God's purpose for humanity, is not the law, but Jesus Christ. So any one of transgression unto or conformity unto God revealed in Jesus Christ would be for John, I argue, what sin is. And now it makes sense. Community. If you can fix, forgive. If you, as a community, can fix your blindness and can not do the sin, which means if you can see God in Jesus Christ, if you can live and believe and know that as a community, then guess what? God is there with you. If you deny God is there with you, if you deny God is with you, if you say that you need proof, then God is not with you. That makes a lot more sense than the spiritual bank accounting and ledgers of sins coming and going. And you're saying to me, probably, Christy, I'm glad it's been 4 years since you've been here. I've already had a sermon and a half. Do you got any proof on this? Ha, see, proof. I don't know about proof, but I got some faith for you. Did you read that little part? There's two times Jesus comes to the room. Two times. And I think it's important what they say about each time. The first time he comes to the room, what do they say about the room and the conditions of the room? The doors were locked. And for fear of the Jews. Now that's just plain racism there. Because Jews didn't kill Jesus. The empire killed Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you different. Those were Romans. That was empire. That was power. We're not fear of the Jews. We're fear of empire. Because that's what killed Jesus. Doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And you know what? I don't know. But I think Thomas was the scaredest. I think Thomas was down in his basement trying to get that Wi-Fi signal working. Even though he's 2,000 years too soon. Trying to get on his conspiracy theory and dream downstairs in the basement. Again, patron saint of the trolls. He was all alone. The second time, was the door locked? Yep. Door was shut. It was not locked. It was shut. Was there any fear? Maybe. But it didn't get into the gospel. The door was shut. Not locked. Not fearful. I'm telling you right there, because I want to believe. I don't have proof, but I believe that they were beginning to forgive the sins and were beginning to see that God was in Jesus Christ. They were beginning to be that community that Jesus Christ called them to be. They were beginning to be what Jesus told them to be. Don't stay in sin. Don't refuse to see God working in Jesus Christ. Do not refuse to see that God is with us. Don't lock out the world. And you know what? Don't lock out those annoying people like Thomas, who's telling you what you said, what you saw, what you witnessed, what you experienced isn't true. Even him, let him in. Because if you keep him out, he's going to stay out. But if you forgive and restore and fix, God will be with you. And sure enough, he showed up. Don't wait for proof at the house, in the basement, on the internet. Don't look for proof. Look for God with us. God in Jesus Christ. Fix it where you don't see it. And do not retain the sin of not seeing God at work in the world. Do not retain the sin of not seeing God at work in other people. Yes, even internet trolls. Even people we don't think should be with us. Don't say, but I know. But be honest and say, I don't know, but I believe. I believe the church. I believe the disciples. I believe the Bible. I believe the community. I believe those who went before me in the faith and those that will follow after me decades and hundreds of years in the future. And I will be building that cathedral, that society. I will be part of that. Dr. Elton Trueblood, a Quaker, said, a man has made at least a start on discovering the meaning of human life when he plants shade trees under which he knows full well he would never sit. Don't wait for proof. Build up God's kingdom in faith. Amen.